SBS Radio.
Right here on NITV Radio, I'm very happy to be joined today by my very first cousin, Dr. Adele Sefton-Ralston, and we're going to be yarning about her new book. It's her debut book. And joining me now is Adele. Welcome to NITV Radio, Adele.
Hi, Kerry Lee. So excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So deadly to have you on board with us this on the program. Thanks for coming on and joining us today right here on NITV Radio. Do tell us about this book.
So I've written a book, pretty hard to believe, growing up as kids. You know, I guess I was, I don't know, the black sheep of the family. Hey, Kerry Lee. But no, look, here I am now working at Charles Darwin University in Darwin on beautiful Larrakia country. And I've been here 12 years now. So in that time, I've been doing my PhD with Deakin University, finished that, and the last few years I've been working on my thesis to bring it up to that next level as a book. And so the book's called Polities and Poetics, Race Relations and Reconciliation in Australian Literature, and it's published by Peter Lang. And, yeah, it's a work of literary scholarship looking at writing since 1990 after the bicentenary and seeing what Australian authors, Indigenous and non-Indigenous, were saying about race relations and the debates around reconciliation and really imagining what may be in store for us as well and what the challenges might be that we're overcoming.
I know that both of us, Mob, as family members, we've been practicing reconciliation since we were born, sis, because, you know, you were raised around my Blackfella family, your Auntie Pam, of course, who no doubt was a strong influence on you and your career. I'm wondering, what influence did Auntie Pam have on you and your career, sis?
Absolutely, Kerry Lee. You know, I remember as a kid coming over to your place and playing in the front yard. It was such a happy family time. And, you know, I didn't think anything about race, you know, as a kid with family. And then it wasn't until I got to school on the Monday morning after we'd had a play at your place and there was a school kid in the yard that started questioning me about, you know, who my family is and making judgments. And I guess it was kind of that racism through association that made me go, what is this about? And imagine, you know, living with these kinds of judgments and stereotypes. And so that really helped inform, I suppose, my passion in this work as an activist to really try and educate people on stories and relationship with people from, you know, different backgrounds. But certainly my Auntie Pam, your mom, it has been a wonderful influence. And, you know, growing up, we were always so proud of what she'd achieved with the gallery at Noriel Park and getting her degree in Canberra. And, you know, our family, my family's had their own ups and downs. And, you know, I'll never forget that Auntie Pam stepped in that time and said, come on, you kids need to come and live with me for a while. And, yeah, she's just really that beautiful maternal figure that I remember as a kid that was there. And, yeah, that was it was reconciliation, you know, embodiment of that.
Thank you for sharing that very personal and touching story from our family, Adele. That's really appreciated today. So do tell me, why did you choose the topic of reconciliation to write about, sis?
I suppose it was an idea that was really burgeoning at the time that, you know, I was in high school and moving into higher education. It was in the news, it was in the papers, it was being demonstrated in a physical sense with marches over Sydney Harbour Bridge, Paul Keating's Redfern speech. And I thought, well, you know, we have these this movement going on politically and legally and socially, but what does it mean in the creative realm? You know, because I think literature's that special place where we can go to imagine. And Stephen Mukey talks about literature as it's the bird dream before we take flight. And so I wanted to explore how poetry and novels of that time during the reconciliation debates to see, you know, what were we dreaming about? What were we imagining could come from this, from the language as well?
And what were we dreaming about in terms of literature back in the 1990s?
So we were really dreaming alongside some of Henry Reynolds' arguments around, you know, recognising that Australia has a black history. And so what was happening in the literature was characters were living out the ways in which these debates were taking shape in through the stories. And it was really interesting to see how authors were representing the way that we were having discussions in the real world about sovereignty and recognizing the very long history before colonization and then the very violent invasion as well. So it was a way authors were able to kind of create worlds that readers could enter into in kind of a more personal and visceral way to engage with those debates.
And, of course, you would have explored in your book both Indigenous and non-Indigenous writers, Adele.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've also wanted to include migrant authors as well to see where they fit in the reconciliation debates, because I suppose up until, you know, this publication, there's been mostly a focus on kind of the black and white. And so I explore Arnold Zabel's novel The Fig Tree. He's a Jewish author living in Melbourne, and he writes beautifully about relationship with Indigenous people in this kind of shared way as well, as a Jewish person having to also really deal with some of the trauma of loss of culture as well. So he talks about a future as from a humanistic point of view as well, and overcoming struggles for a better future.
And I'm wondering, Kaz, what did you learn from writing this book and doing the research behind it?
Well, I learnt a lot about my personal relationships as well, you know, as how it informed some of my more intellectual ideas. And I suppose one of the key takeaways that I still carry with me today is the ways in which the way we think, societal structures, how they create distance between people, whether it's on a bus or... So I'm really interested in how, you know, spiritually and psychologically we create distance between people because of our histories and our... limited understanding in some ways too. And so I guess every day I'm conscious of how do we bring people closer together in a physical sense, but also in that psychological and spiritual way as well, and, you know, having a yarn.
You just mentioned there before about the Jewish community and including the Fig Tree book in your writings as well in your new book. What other migrant communities did you include in your book, Adele?
So I was looking at some diverse groups as well, you know, Chinese people and the Japanese as well, you know, a long history of Chinese and Japanese people, particularly in the Northern Territory. And, of course, you know, going further back with the Macassans as well. So I do mention the way that sustained relationships have survived, you know, since pre-invasion as well, and how that's captured in the imagination of authors and represented in great artworks as well. You know, there's a lot of great collaborations between Asian and Indigenous artists and writers. So that was something that I really wanted to capture. And
Kaz, what do you hope readers will get out of reading your book? What do you want them to take home from this about reconciliation and literature in the 1990s and that period?
I'd really love for readers to think about the way that, you know, Indigenous people have always told stories and the way that they've published knowledge in various forms beyond the Western book, of course, and, you know, that I'd really love to just kind of smash the English canon and how we perceive, you know, great works of literature. And so my work builds on, I guess, the history of literature that's published, but, you know, thinking about also, you know, different types of writing, whether that be graffiti as well, you know, that appears on walls as a kind of, activist art form, but also a way to publish story. So, you know, that's kind of the more radical things that I mention in the book. But I'd like readers to think about where have we come since the Bicentenary, and Adam Schumacher in his book, Black Words, White Page, talks about this time in Australian writing from the 1960s to 1988 called resistance writing. And, you know, people like Judith Wright and the way that, you know, and Mudruru contributed to the type of resistance writing that worked so, so hard to really challenge the status quo and point out, you know, racist ideas and beliefs in colonial culture. So from that time, I wanted to explore from the 1990s till about the 2010s and this era of reconciliation writing, which I term in my book for the first time reconciliatory writing, and as a next stage to the resistance writing and ways that authors are kind of engaging me in a dialogue too in since that time of resistance writing, to say, well, okay, where to from here, and you know, the other side of the argument is, of course, too, is there always going to be resistance, and, you know, perhaps, of course, there should be as well.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.